Blog Talk Radio.
Old pirate Jesse Rabbi sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hands was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but the woodsouths can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. Redemption song. Redemption song.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real show. This is September 12, 2015. This is a re-entry show. Yes, Jenny Strozier was incarcerated for 46 years as a prisoner. Strozier was released on parole in 2013, and he has excellent advice for young people regarding how they can stay free and never go to prison. He also has great advice for others who, like him, have come out of prison and are looking for that fresh start. Without any further ado, I give you Mr. Jenny Strozier. How are you tonight, Jenny?
Good afternoon, Miss Mary. I'm doing fine. Just got in a few hours ago, you know, and then you called me. And I had to go down and see my sister, who also in the mental health, she's in a mental institution. So I went down today and sat with her for a little while, and we chit-chat, and I gave her some advice, and she gave me some advice. You know, it's not as strange that people think that people just because they're in a mental institution, they don't know nothing, but you got some smart folks up in now. They smart now. And we sat down, and we had a nice conversation, you know, and about life and Joe, and she was telling me about some things that she wanted to do when she get out of there, and she gonna get out. You know, and I was able to sit and give her some important information and tell her some things about life. And one of the things I told her was I was reading something, and I told her, I said, no matter what you go through, always give thanks to the Lord. No matter what you go through, always give thanks. Because it's just going to last for a little while and it's going to be gone. So we kind of hugged and she went on back to where she was and I came on back. But I found out my baby brother had went to see her at 12 o'clock and took her some clothes and stuff like that. But I was glad to get out and get on up and see her. But the thing that I want to say tonight is I was thinking about some stuff over Friday. Tuesday, I had an incident where someone said something to me, and I went off. You know, I shouldn't have went off, but I went off. Someone said something about my mother, and it was someone that I worked with, and I just went slapped the zerk. But I was glad someone was talking to me. Someone was in my ear talking, because ain't no telling where I would have went, man, Mary. You know what I mean? But I thank God that I'm him, and I thank God that I'm still him, and I thank God that he used me to show other people how to get out of prison and stay out of prison. You know, with your mama, I was telling you that I was having all the problems with my parole officer, how they kept hounding me and trying to put me down. You know, that doesn't stop. You know, when he said he'll make your enemy your foot, you better believe it. Because, you know, they don't do that. They don't hound me like they used to hound me, you know. And I'm in the process now of filing some paperwork, but I haven't did it yet. But I'm going to do it. But I got my mind got to be right to do it. But I just want to say to all the people out there, you know what I mean, that my name is Johnny Scrolls, you know, and I did spend over 4 to 6 years in prison. But I think what changed me, you know, I spent most of the years I spent in prison just raising hell. That's what I did. I just stayed in trouble and stayed in holes, stayed in solitary confinement, and just basically did what I wanted to do. It was until 1985 that I got saved, and then I started seeing another way of life coming out. But, you know, I'm not going to get into the details of that, but I do want to say this to most of all the young people and the young men in the society today. Over the Labor Day weekend, I witnessed something down at Fire Point. I seen over 75, maybe 80 young boys down at Fire Point Labor Day fighting in the Fire Point train station. The Crips in the blood, that's what they say. You know, I can tell you this, you know, if you think you a gang member, or you think you a Crip, or you think you a blood, and you run around and squeaking, if you're doing those things, and you think that's cool, but let me give you a rude awakening. When you go inside the door of the prison system, you're going to meet the real Crips and the real Bloods and the real GDs and the real gangsters. So you're going to be in there, you know what I mean? If you're not what you say you is, then you're going to get real hurt being up in the prison system, because them guys play for keeps, and they're serious about what they're doing. But I want to tell you, you know, I was down at Fire Point. I see men and women grabbing their kids, running out of the elevator because they didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to get hurt. You know, and that's something that I want to speak on. So when I went back down to Fire Point, I seen that they had Homeland Security at Fire Point. It's so bad that they had to call Homeland Security to come down to Fire Park and stand around. Because people don't got to be where they don't care no more. They don't care about children. They don't care about older women, old people. They don't care about all the mental health people that are down around Fire Park. You know what I mean? Somebody get hurt just about every day. But I just want to say, you know, that doing these things, if you don't learn how to think right in society, you go to prison, you're going to learn how to think wrong. And when you start thinking wrong over the years, when you become to be an old man and you can't walk or something doesn't happen to you and you can't talk or you can't see, then you come out of prison, you learn how to think right. Because when you're in prison, you're going to learn how to think right. See, they got a thing in there, they got a code in there in prison where you're going to learn how to think right. And then you come out, you ain't going to have them problems. Well, see, I was one of those guys that had to go do something wrong. And I went in and I had to learn how to think right. But I didn't know how to think. You know, I went to prison when I was almost 13 years old. My first arrest was 10. Then I went to prison when I was 13. But, you know, while in prison, you learn things. You know, I had to learn a lot because I had an IQ of 62. People say I couldn't read, I couldn't write. They say I was mentally retarded. They called me all kinds of stuff. But, you know, and then they were telling the truth. And I didn't like it. So I started learning, I started teaching myself how to read and how to write and how to do this and how to think and how to take care of myself and how to walk and how to talk and how to be bad and how not to take nothing. And then when I learned myself this stuff, time just started stacking on me. I started out with 35 years and it went from 35 years to 40 years and 50 years. And then next thing I know, I had 90 years. I had 90 years in prison. I was 20-something years old, and I was in the Georgia State prison. And my back was up against the wall. Didn't know, I really didn't care about nothing. But, you know, I met some people in there. An old man came to me and told me, you know, that the warden told him that I was the worst man in the prison system. You know, I was thinking the other night about a man that I met in the prison system. His name was George McLaughlin. McLaughlin was 17-year-old. He was a 17-year-old officer coming into Georgia State Prison in 1982. I remember teaching this officer how to survive in the prison system. That is, this officer had moved up in the Georgia prison system. He is now the warden over Macon State Prison. I was glad to see that Mr. McLaughlin had become to be warden over the Macon State Prison system. I was talking to Cynthia Nelson, and a black female became to be the first black female warden in the Georgia prison system. You know, it was a inspiring thing for them to see them come up through the ranks and be who they were, because it motivated me. You know, it let a little bit of weight off me so I could kind of function a little bit better in prison. After seeing so many people killed and stabbed and beat up, dragged out, I was ready to come on home, you know what I mean? I was ready to be free. But in July 13th, you know, they freed me. They gave me my parole, and I came out. And I vowed to never go back. But I also vowed to God to help every inmate coming out. You know what I mean? I see people walking downtown. They say, can you spare me a quarter so I can get something to eat? You know what I tell them? I tell them, well, you on the west side work. You get your job 4 weeks. You go down to Urban Leader, you can get you a GED, get you a job. Since I've been in Atlanta, I've been having job after job after job, because no one wants to hire you when you're ex-celibate. When you're coming out, they call it ex-con, ex-celibate, whatever you want to call it. You know, when you get out, you go to prison, you learn how to do stuff in prison. But then when you come out, nobody want to give you the opportunity to work. Most men do a flip. They come out and they go right back in, because no one wants to give them a job, so they go rob somebody, they go kill somebody, they go do this and they go do that. But you know, I'm out here now, I want to be the lead weight. See, because I can't go back. It'll just defeat the purpose for me to go back in, because I'm out here doing so good. And I'm leading the way for other inmates to come out. Other men to come out and prosper. Other men to come out and get jobs. I see men that have come out of prison and got good jobs. Got their family. I'm talking about Floyd Cloud, my best friend. Floyd Cloud came out of prison, got his family, got his wife. You know, just moved in his first home just yesterday. Moved in his first house. And I was so proud to see that, you know, that he was down and couldn't get nothing. But now he got a good job, making good money, moved in his first home. I was proud to see people like Jerome Tidio get out and succeed. Got a program over at Atlanta Area Tech, the TIC program. A.G. Sabreek, another one of the brothers that was inspired me while I was in prison. You know, I was just kind of going down the line to say something about the people that got me to where I am today. I just want to thank them for just taking a chance on me and getting me to the point that I need to be, you know. And then I want to thank all the women that was in my life also, people like Miss Hazelhorn and Sandra Robinson and a few more people that was leading the way to come see about me when I had no one to see about me. So I just want to thank them also, you know. I'm working on my third year out. I've been out 2 years this month now, and I'm working on my third year just this week. You know, I got a job interview with the city on Monday at 1 o'clock. I don't give up. Every time I lose a job, I go right back at another job. I'm presently working right now with my cousin, but, you know, I also want a real job, making some real money, because I like to live nice, you know. So that's basically what I'm doing right now in today. Miss Mary, anybody got anything on the line?
Yes, we have guests, Jenny. We thank you so much for that presentation. It's a struggle, and the struggle continues. It continues. And we have two guest callers right now at 5646 and at 1111. I want to invite either one of you to speak right now. Go right ahead, guest. Jenny Strozier is keeping it real here at Human Rights Demand every Saturday night at 9 p.m. And he's here to answer questions or dialogue with you or listen to your comments regarding whatever you can add to the discussion. His shows are about reentry, and it's about the struggles that people face after they've been processed in the legal system. Many people have struggles once they've been in the legal system as a defendant. And so we want to hear about those and discuss those, and he will give you advice about it and comment on it. Let's hear from you. 5646.
Good evening. This is Kay. I was just listening in, and everything that Johnny said, I can identify with. I wasn't incarcerated, but like I had said previously, I spent two nights in jail and I was convicted. And so I know how hard it is once you have a conviction in your record, how hard it is for you to be gainfully employed. And sometimes, like in my situation, well, like in his situation too, from what he explained to me happened to him, it's just not fair. Look like sometimes the employer could look at your background or what happened to you and kind of get some kind of idea of what kind of employee you would be and just give you a chance. But most of the time they don't. Regardless of what your record looked like he said when he, you know, was young and snatched a purse or whatever, if I was an employer looking at that, I would say, well, you was a kid, you know, or whatever. But once you get convicted and go into prison, or you just get convicted and you have that stigmata on you, it's hard for you to be gainfully employed. Like he was just saying that, I think he said a family member, somebody he knows that he's working with now, it's good if you got somebody that can, you know, reach out to you and give you a little work or whatever. But it's not like having your own. Like he just got through saying he wants his own and he wants nice things. Well, why not? But it's sad, and it's just like it's no end to it. I mean, they talk about prison reform and all this kind of thing, but and I do feel that you know, some people are really trying to reform the prison system, but unless and you know, like the senators and the congressmen really dig into it to do something about it, it's a struggle.
You know, I understand what she was saying to me a minute ago. You know, when you've been in 45, 50 years, you got me in prison now that have been in 45, 50 years. I did 46 years, almost knocked the 50 out. But, you know, coming out, you know, being in, people say, oh, man, he don't know that. He been in 46 years. He don't know this. He can't do that. You know what I mean? But when you're sitting in there for 46 years, all you doing is reading books, writing letters, reading the dictionary, or looking at TV and watching people's invent stuff and uninvent stuff. You learn a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Some of the most smartest men I ever met is right there in prison. I've seen men take a piece of wire and a fingernail clipper, hook it up, stick it in the socket, and boil chicken. Now, one of those, geez, you know, I see another man took a pencil, hook some wire to it, take the just a lid and tested cigarette and lit a cigarette with it. So the men are very smart in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of men that go through, or a lot of women, they're very smart. But when you come out of prison, people think you don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know a lot. You know, I was in my anger management class, you know, I go. And I'd be talking, you know, and my instructor, he's fascinated by me, you know, because I speak with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people that go through anger, people, they just made me go to an anger management class because of something happened in prison. I ain't even got an anger management on the street. But they said, give me 24 hours of anger management. So I had to go to anger management. I have to pay them $30 every time I go to sit there and talk with a man that can't tell me nothing about anger management.
But then,
then I got to pay them $115 for them to put an electronic tracking device on my phone so they want to keep up with where I'm at. They think I'm going to leave the state of Georgia, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I got to pay, they made me go get a phone, I got to pay $58 a month on my phone. Then I got insurance and all the other stuff, you know what I mean, that you have to get out of here. But I got it. And I go to work. I don't care if I have to cut your grass for $30. If I cut 5 yards for $30, I add it up. I did the next day, I cut 5 more. So what I'm doing, basically what I'm doing, people tell me, they said, if you can't get a job, make a job. That's what I do. I make a job. I had a lady told me the other day, she said, I'm looking for somebody to clean my house. I said, I'll come clean it. She said, I'll pay you, too. So she said, I'm moving to a new house, but she wanted clean before she moved in. And I told her, I'll clean it. I did whatever it took to not to return to the Georgia prison system as a facility.
Mm-hmm. Any white person would.
Because, you know, being out in society is better than being in.
That's right.
You know, I've been out here. I've been out here, you know what I mean, and I've been doing what I got to do every day. But, you know, just basically doing my thing, you know. But I also think about where I come from because I already know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going straight up. I'm going straight up. I'm not going to crisscross, turn back, flop, fall, none of that. And I think, you know, the people that helped me get to where I'm at now, you know, I stay in a nice apartment, you know what I mean, because somebody helped me get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go to downtown, and I get my model car, I walk down there and get on the model bus and ride the model and do what I got to go do what I got to do and come on back. If I got a job, I walk down there and get on there, go work and come back. But I don't have to do that because people pick me up when I go to work, and then they bring me back, you know. So I go out and I do what I got to do. But what I, one of the most things I want to say is this right here. The most of the kids today and the ones that don't listen and the ones that don't pay attention, you got to pay attention because if you don't pay attention, you'll slip. And I used to tell guys in prison, don't get caught slipping or you'll be slide. You know what I'm saying? That's what I used to tell them. I used to say, don't get caught slipping or you'll be slide. See, because once you get caught slipping and you slide into something else, you can't come back from it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, I tell men and women to keep their eyes on Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your head up. Don't look down. Don't be worried about what's going on down on the ground. The Bible said your help comes from above, so look up. Don't be looking all the way down now. Look to the side every now and then because, you know, you got people that, you got the help. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to trip you up. And you want to look straight ahead, but you going you want to look in the back of you every now and then because you got people that want to backstab you. Always remember this, help. You got people in prison, in our prison, if they see you driving a nice car, they're going to hate on you. If they see you wearing nice clothes, they're going to hate on you. And they're going to want to take it from you. What you got to do this is you got to keep your mind on what you're doing. Keep your mind on your business.
Right.
And your business to yourself. And keep moving. Because I always tell them in Mary, right from the Mary, if you learn how to think right, you act right. But I had to learn how to think right. You know, I was a 10-year-old kid coming up. I watched my mama, I watched my daddy beat the holy hell out of my mama.
Mm.
I watched it for years and years. Until I, my mama was about 21 years old. I was 10 years old when I went to prison. Because I stood up for my mama. I stood in the gap. When nobody else can stand in the gap. A 10-year-old. And I told his man, he wasn't going to put his hand on my mama no more. And I started doing what I can do to help my mama. But then they wanted me, they put me in a foster home. They said they couldn't control me. I went to foster home. I went to Augusta Training School. I went to Alto when I was 13 years old. I got about 21 escapes from Alto. I started escaping from the prison. I was determined that no one was going to stop me or keep me in a prison. I was a slave, and I wasn't going to stay there. Because I remember in the Georgia prison system in the 70s, there was no black officers working in the Georgia prison system at all.
Mm.
They can do whatever they want to do to you. I seen men get killed in prison, and I seen the white officers call their mamas and their daddies and tell them that their son got killed, and they didn't know how it happened. But in reality, they was the one doing the killing. There's a lot of unsolved murders.
Yeah, excuse me.
Prison, so.
But yeah, a lot of that's surfacing now.
Now,
I said, excuse me. I said, but a lot of it, like we knew a lot of suspicious things was going on then, but a lot of it is surfacing now. You're seeing it on television. You know, people are using their cell phone cameras and they're capturing all this. And lot of things are being exposed from the prisons, you know, with the correction officers and, you know, ones like that. It's you know, just like the Bible says, what's done in the dark will come to the light. And so now it's surfacing. You know, we knew it back then, but you couldn't prove it. You know, they had everything under wraps, which they still do now, kind of. But you know, you got modern technology now, and so a lot of this stuff that they're doing is surfacing.
And you know, now that you know why they won't need to have cell phone in prison is because now, you know, when you get a cell phone in prison, you can tell what's going on on the inside back to the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot of stuff going on now. You know, I've seen people get killed in prison. I've seen mental health people get killed. I've seen mental health people get abused. I've seen men get killed. I have seen more murders in the Georgia prison system than I haven't seen a murder yet on the street.
That's sad.
That's sad. Mm. I've seen so many folks get killed in prison. It's pathetic. And they know that I have seen it. And that was one of the reasons why they tried their best to kill me in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. I had six officers come in my cell. They handcuffed me behind my back, and they hung me in my cell to the death. But this what happened to an inmate, seen it. The inmate's name was Calvin Thomas. He seen it. And he called an officer. Black officer came in and took me down.
Mm-hmm.
And when they seen it, they had two pairs of handcuffs on my arm and two pairs of shackles on my leg. That's how they know. Then they started asking me, "Man, who put you up there?" And I said, "The white officer put me up there. They wanted me dead.
Mm.
They just couldn't kill me."
But God said
they
no.
They couldn't kill me. Uh-huh. And when I came out of prison, the first radio show I went on was WAOK.
Mm-hmm.
You find so many people, and see, that's why they call this show Keep It Real, because I'm going to keep it straight up real. That's why you find so many people that fake funk. I went on WAOK. I talked to Jerry Bowman. And, you know, get on radio station, talking to Jerry Bowman, we're all good. You know what I mean? You give me some airtime. But, you know, I'll go there and try to hear about the church. Jerry Bowman would give me a speech. He came in, he was talking, and he recognized me. But, you know, after church service, Danny Bowman had like, he didn't even know who I was. You know, I seen Danny Bowman out at WLK at Wind Down. Spoke to him, Danny Bowman had like, he didn't know who I was. You know, so I quit taking the funk. You know what I mean? It is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't fake the funk. You know, I met Miss Mary, and me and Miss Mary talked. And then this man was talking, and then Mary did not cut the, she did not fake the fuck with me. You know, she came on, she said, "Johnny, you wish you like your own radio show, I can make it happen."
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going at this, and we've been at it for a long time now, you know. And I'm willing to go, I'll go over, heal over water with Miss Mary, and talk wherever she wants me to talk at. That's what I'm doing now. I'm a motivating speaker. I go speak. I go to churches. I talk to kids. I go anywhere. Anybody allow me to come.
That's all right.
Yeah, the story got to be told.
Mm-hmm.
People got to hear.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
The community ain't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They take up all the. They're going to go to the playground now, you know. No basketball court. They ain't got nothing for the kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
They sit around and smoke dope all day long and stay in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't got nothing for them to do. So, Ms. Miller, you got anybody else want to say anything?
Johnny.
I'm getting married. Yes, ma'am.
I want to share something with y'all.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes,
I hear. What it is when your voice is vibrating? I can.
I hear too.
This was in 2011, and I was going through all this legal stuff. Me and my son. And I had dreamed that I saw a unusual object in the sky. And the next week, lo and behold, me and my son was we was on our way to Walmart this particular evening. It was about, I'll say about 10 or 11 minutes after 9. So we were riding along. I mean, it was a clear, clear night, beautiful night. And looked up in the sky, and there was this big hole, it was shaped like a cross.
Yeah.
It looked like something came out of it. It was hollowed out like you see a jet or something go through a cloud and it leaves a hole. Well, it was just like that, but it was shaped perfect like a cross. And I told my son, I said, "You see that?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, because it was wondering what came out of it." Look a little ways over, and there's a orange cross floating to the east. I mean, just shimmering in the sky, an orange cross. And as we you know, because we was like in a speed zone, and I was trying to, I was just trying to just observe it. But, you know, you got to move along and I didn't want to go over the speed limit because the cops in that area is real bad. And that cross, it just moved slowly over to the east, and it was just shimmering. So we drove a ways further, and all we could see was like billions of orange lights. It is the most magnificent thing I ever seen in my life.
Uh-huh.
And you tell me God ain't real.
He real. You know, I had a lady one time, just a few weeks ago, a lady showed me something on her phone. And she said, "I showed this to somebody else, but they couldn't see what I see." And when she showed it to me, it was a face and some eyes and a nose in the cloud.
What'd you say?
And I kept looking at it. I said, "Man, I thank God." And it was raining that day. I thank God I'm looking at this. That was down here. I'm sorry. It was big. You can see the eyebrows. You can see the eyes. And you can see the nose and the mouth.
I believe it. I wish I had seen it, but I can believe it. Just like you were saying a while ago, to look up. You'd be surprised sometimes what you will see. You know, what you see. God be showing us signs. But sometimes we be so busy looking somewhere else we can't see.
Yeah.
And this night when I came home, I called the TV station. I asked, anybody seeing anything unusual in the sky? They said no. And my neighbor's daughter, she was living in Gonzales, Louisiana. And she said that she was on her back porch on her cell phone and said she got this strange feeling to look up and say she saw that cross sitting back there and said all she could do was holler. So the neighbor came back and looked at it and say, "Yes, that's a cross." And I don't know if that was just a confirmation for what we were going through. I don't know, but God is still on the throne.
Always on the throne.
Yeah, God is still on the throne.
You know, I got to go and sing in church tomorrow. My pastor got sick. They don't know what's wrong with him. Here, I see you.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
One of the hospital. I just got married, already in ICU. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, don't nobody know. Couldn't tell nobody nothing. But tomorrow, I'm going to the women's choir and the men's choir combined tomorrow for the first time. And I'm going to sing tomorrow and do what I do. Hold up, hold a hand, and pray for the pastor, his wife, and his family. And pray for my family. I'm just going to pray for everybody's family. And everything going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about one time that in life, I was thinking about, I was telling a friend of mine that when I was growing up on Northside Drive in Atlanta on the west side, I remember, you know, that we didn't have locks on our doors or windows or none of that. You can just walk right in the house if you want to. And, but I remember one night I was in the house, in the kitchen, and I woke up to two angels standing at the back door.
They what
scared
you
the
say?
Daylight out of me.
Uh-huh.
Scared the day. I'm just a two-story. Scared the daylight out of me.
I believe you.
And I balled up in a knot in the bed and moved down to the foot of the bed and ran out of the room.
And ran out of the room?
Yeah, into my mom and them, and I'm telling my mom about it. And when we went back in the kitchen, they were gone.
Mm.
But, you know, I remember in 1967, 68, 69, somewhere around there, police shot at me five times, close range.
Why?
The nail bullet hit me. The
Why?
Nail bullet hit me. Why?
Uh-huh.
Because I was running from them, and they couldn't catch me.
Dog.
You know, I was doing all kind of old stupid stuff in the neighborhood, stealing, breaking in folk houses.
Yeah, but that wasn't a reason to shoot at you, though. It was just a kid.
Yeah, they didn't shoot at me. Yeah. But they didn't hit me. And I thought it was just me being fast. But it wasn't me being fast. It was this God watching over me. For me, you know, I'm going to tell you something. It was another miracle that happened. I went to prison at a young age with an IQ of 62. They said I was mentally retarded. Instead of drugs in the prison system, said I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I didn't know nothing, I ain't going to never amount to nothing. I'll probably be in the prison the rest of my life. You know, but over the years, this is what God did for me. God taught me how to read. He taught me how to write. I ain't never been to school in my life.
Mm.
I have never been to school in my life. You know what I said?
Mm-hmm.
But I learned how to read. I learned how to write. And I went home February 7, 2005, and I graduated out of the Georgia prison system with a high school diploma. Not a GED, but a high school diploma. I scored high on my test. I scored 100 on everything except language. Language, I scored an 88.
Well, that's 88, that's a B.
Yeah. So I went on to Middle Georgia Tech.
That's wonderful.
I went on to Middle Georgia Tech. I got 800 hours in baking, came out a certified baker, certified cook to the street, got a job at CNN, worked at Piccadilly, worked at Southern Buffet, worked at Citizen Lane Bowling Alley, worked at Meals on Wheels, worked at Dogwood Fulton County Senior Citizen Center. All these places I've been working, cooking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to show you how God is. Every time somebody
shut the door
in my face,
You never gave up.
Yeah. I worked at Kroger. When they found out my background, they terminated me. But I worked at Kroger. Kroger sent me to school. They trained me. I worked at Sid. I worked at CNS.
But you know, excuse me. You know, that's discrimination.
I know it.
You probably wouldn't want to go that route because they'll come back at you. But really, you're not supposed to discriminate against a person. But, you know, they got their ways of doing it. But I couldn't see them hiring you, and especially investing in you by sending you to school and all this kind of thing and then get rid of you.
Yeah.
That's cruel.
That's what they did.
That's cruel.
I found out that Fulton County, the city of Atlanta, do not have a black box on their application. Did you know that a person with a criminal background just got out of prison can work for the city of Atlanta? I just found that out.
They shouldn't be on any application because it's really discriminatory. It's really discriminatory, and the state of the criminal justice system nowadays, you got people that's supposed to be enforcing the law, and they criminals hiding under the color of law, body badges and stuff like that. It's just, you know, just want to shake your head. And then, you know, you got staunched down criminals worse than some of the people that supposedly committed crimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, sometimes I just can't find the words for it. And you would try to hold somebody to a doggone box. Hello.
Hey, I'm on the line and I'm trying to just say a word whenever y'all get a chance. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
My name is Hazel Horn. I've been listening to y'all. Y'all have some really beautiful testimonies. I love that story about your boy and you saw the thing come up out of the cloud, something like this, and then you saw the orange color. That was beautiful. And
mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it. It is wonderful. I love to hear you all talk. And just to hear and just to know my son, I call him my son, Johnny, telling his story. Beautiful, beautiful. So I just listening as you all continue to talk. I just letting you know I'm on the line, and anytime you all get an opportunity, I'd like to come in as well. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
I was going to just wrap it up and say that basically they just need to ban the box, you know, ban the box that you check when you're applying for a job, that you been convicted of a crime or whatever, because a lot of the convictions are wrongful convictions. You know, a lot of people just caught up in the system. They haven't did anything. You say it.
Miss Horn?
Yeah, hey, baby. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Would you like to say something?
Oh, yeah.
Hold it a minute.
Okay.
Miss Kate?
Uh-huh.
I just want to introduce you to Miss Horn. I've been knowing Miss Horn for over 40 years.
Wow.
Miss Horn was one of the ladies that used to come into Georgia prison system and see about us, all the guys that didn't have nobody. But when she came and brought her ladies down there to see us, that was about the only visitor we ever got.
That's wonderful.
I just want to introduce you to Miss Horn, Miss Hazel Horn. She is like my mother.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Horn.
I'm pleased to meet you, too. Very well, yeah.
Hello.
Yes, I am so glad to meet with you.
Hello.
And to hear you. Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Johnny, do you hear me?
Yes, I think it was somebody else on the line trying to get in.
Okay, that's all right. Let them come on. You can let them come closer.
Hello, who is
this? Go ahead, Miss Horn.
Okay, it's just so good to hear y'all talking. And thank you, Johnny, because I tell you, down in the 1980s, I think I first came down there. We had the first Black History program. And it was kind of unusual for a woman to get into the prison. But you just have to be determined to know that God has sent you. Don't worry about a thing, because he's always going to take care of you, whatever you're going through. So I've learned that down through the years. And one thing I always like to say is that being sincere in everything you do, if you
right.
do that, God will certainly see you through it all. You know, there's an old song that said, through it all, I've learned to depend on him. And that's the truth about any situation that you strive to do, because he will take care of you. And I just like to say, I've seen Johnny grow so much, Johnny. You have really grown since I've known you. And I'm so happy to know, to have known him all these 40 years, and just seeing the brilliancy in terms of him believing in himself, believing that
mm-hmm.
he can do it all and through God, and how he got out, stepped out on faith the day he got out. I don't think you were out of 5 days before you had a job, right, Johnny? How long was it?
Yeah, about 5 days.
About 5 days, Johnny had a job, whereas some people come out and they out for months and months and months, can't get a job, they say. But the thing is, they don't push themselves. They don't know that God is there for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they start believing that the system got them down, the system done told them they were nothing and whatever. But when I found through him is that when somebody else tried to put you down, God will pick you up.
That's right.
And that has been his story. And his story in terms of God's story working through him. So he has had such a brilliant light for so many that have thought they couldn't make it. And when they hear Johnny speak, and when they hear Johnny tell his story, that's a story within itself, that the Lord will make a way somehow, and he has done so. And so I'm so proud of Johnny. He called me today and said, don't forget my show tonight. And I said, oh, no. I was sitting talking to somebody, had some group family members over, but I said, I got to go and say a few words in regards to Johnny, because I want him to know I do support him 100%. And I'm so glad that he just believes that he can go forward and he keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a wonderful person, that God is using him to lift others up. We have a program that we go to every other, just put a little spark out here, every other Thursday night, every second, fourth Thursday, we go to a place, and it's Atlanta State Technical College. And there, we call it a reentry program, where so many men and women come that has been incarcerated 30 years, 20 years, 40, even up that high. But they have learned to live and to come back, and they are seeking a new way of life. And Johnny comes out to speak to the group. He spoke about 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and he spoke, and what he said, I think it inspired so many young people that have been incarcerated. And Johnny speak with authority in terms of he know who God is and he trusts him, and he go right on and he just does anything he wants. It's at his fingertips. And I think if all of our brothers and sisters that have people that are incarcerated or have been, just believe, that's all they have to do is believe that they can make it. And there's nothing too hard that they cannot overcome. So I just want to say that, and I'm so proud that I'm a part of his life and so many others that I can stand there with them, not behind them, but let them know we're together. That's it. Anybody else want to say something, that's fine.
Amen.
I just want to say that. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, it is. Well, there's somebody else wanted to get on, too. I know I kept holding, trying to get on, but I'm so glad y'all allowed me to get on.
I've been out all day, I've been out here since this morning,
mm-hmm.
about 9 o'clock. I've been on the road going here and there, here and there, here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called me and said, Johnny, you going on and down? And then I said, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can make it.
Mm.
But, you know, I done missed so many shows because I be on the move so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come on tonight and say my piece.
Yeah, okay. I wish I could have got another young lady. She's here, and she's going to be at our church tomorrow. A young lady by the name of Miss Emma Cunningham. I wish she's here. I wish I could get her to say a few words, because this young lady was on death row. You remember that, don't you, Johnny?
Yeah, I remember Emma on death row. She was in your house tonight.
She's here. She's going to be at our church tomorrow. She's going to be singing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can let her come on. If she want to come on, tell her come on.
Well, she had been, and she had to go to the doctor yesterday. You know, they buried her sister Wednesday.
Okay.
Betty, one of her sisters. So she'd been going through a little, and she had to go to the hospital today, and she had some kind of outing. And they're finishing up now. But if she comes, get finished and come in here before, what time are you going to finish? About what, 10?
10:30. Yeah, won't be long.
Okay, all right.
I got to go too, because I got church anymore. I got to sing.
Yeah, I heard you say your minister who just got married was in the hospital. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, Reverend Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Griffin. But I don't know where hospital. Don't nobody tell me nothing. I don't know that. All
uh-huh.
I know is he's in the ICU.
Okay, and he just got married a few days ago, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to pray and know. We're going to pray and know tomorrow when service starts, he'll be ready to come out. We're just going to see him coming out. Whatever he had to go through, he's going through it now, and he's going to go through it with fine colors because this is a new day, a new beginning for him, and we want to see him walking through the doors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see that.
Okay.
Yeah. We know it can happen. But all of us believe it, and all of us just trust and just know God will do it, and he can do it. And I know you all are looking forward to him coming back with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is. Yes. Yes.
So it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes. So.
Well, I just want to let you know that if anybody, you know, I don't recall your church anyway, it just cut loose and hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the guy's gonna be singing over there in the morning. They're just gonna get there by 9:30, and they're gonna sing. It's gonna be Addison and Run and JR. I think other young man.
I sure would like to be there, but I got an obligation.
Oh, I know you got.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, if I wasn't singing in the choir, I'd come.
Oh, I understand, but you go ahead on, and I will certainly tell them that you send your regards to all of them, especially Emma will be singing. Emma's going to be singing as well. So I'm going to try to record it for you. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, try to record the whole thing for me.
Okay, I will. We'll do so.
Okay.
Yes.
Hello?
Hey, yeah.
Hello?
Is the young lady still on? Hello? Uh-huh.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, no, I was in listening, wanted to talk about the incident that happened on Labor Day at Five Point with all the teenagers, all the young ladies and all the young men that were down at Five Point on Labor Day when there was the free ride.
Uh-huh. Come on. I'm down there.
So your opinion of it?
My opinion of it is just right here. You know, you get somebody to give you a free day to ride tomorrow in the buses, or you can go anywhere you want to do. You can go anywhere. You can go get your job. You can go see some of your family members anywhere. But what? That want to go. But we got so many towns that got so many out of control kids. To be honest with you, some of the towns are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the towns that got kids is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So quite exactly, if the towns are out of control, guess what? The church is going to be out of control. But let's get to the point of kids. I'm down to Five Point. I see these 70-some young men running through the gates, all of them holding up gang signs, their pants down around their butt. You follow what I'm saying? And they have sticking up on their head, and they acting crazy.
Mm.
So somebody gave them a free pass to come downtown. So they're going to use the free pass to come downtown to Red Hill, the cab front, and make it and mess it up for next time. Marla want to give you a free pass. A lot of people won't be able to move around because you got the young people, the high school kids coming downtown, messing it up for everybody else. You follow what I'm saying? Because they ain't got no control over themselves. They can't think right. You got the Crips and the Bloods. They trying to kill each other over what? Oh, because you wore a red bandana on your head. I try not to wear nothing red. Well, people will kill you just because you got a red handkerchief hanging out your pocket. You see, it's so bad now that you can't say nothing to these kids no more because most of all of them told the gun. You got these, if you remember last week, right before the Labor Day weekend, you had two little boys got shot. One got shot, one 13 got shot in the leg, and another 14 got shot in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got, and they're out at a nightclub. Now, what a 14 or 13 year old kid on a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning? Who cares them here? Them must be birthday kids. Okay? So, ain't no real parent going to let no birthday kids be at no 3 o'clock in the morning. Let them be on the birthday. Got to be birthday kids. Because birthday kids do everything. In real time, at any time of the night. then you got the young ladies, they're running around, the teenagers, they're running around downtown. They got, I call them one pair of pants fit all. All of them got on the same spandex. They look just alike. And got their chest sticking out. You know what I mean? And they're downtown, all over Firefront, and everywhere they're acting a fool, all down in Tenio City Park, acting a fool, you know what I mean? And messing up, police running everywhere, locking folks up, what's going on? You got women, you got mothers that walking their children through Firefront, when these little stupid little boys come through there, you got the women running down the escalator trying to get on train track. I don't believe the train had a big there. I believe.
Hello?
Hello? Is y'all still with me?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, I was just listening.
Who is it?
It's your sister. Yeah.
Yes. Where did I go?
I don't know.
There's a whole lot of folks on there. They just gone. Sandra?
No.
You on?
Yeah, I got you back. It went off, but it got back on. Yes.
Okay, Miss Horn, this is my sister, Courtney.
Okay.
Hey, Miss Horn, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
great. So you all were talking about that something happened down to Five Point on Labor Day.
I was talking about Five Point. Miss Robinson had asked me how I feel about the situation at Five Point.
Okay.
Then I didn't hear nothing from her.
Well, it went off.
Her phone went off, and is Miss Kate still there?
I don't know. The phone's everything went off. It went off. It just clicked. Everybody clicked off. And then I tried to dial back in, and I got in, but I was listening to it. I didn't know about the incident. I was just listening to you all talking about it. Yeah.
Miss Courtney, you want to shine anything on the light on anything?
I heard about 5 points. Well, first of all, I really have enjoyed the show tonight. And it enlightened me on a lot of things that you had on. I was listening to this on talk about you being in Atlanta area too. So a lot of things that you have done, I don't know about. And it was late. I was late to hear about it.
Yeah. I'm planning on bringing you.
Huh?
I'm planning on bringing you in and update you on a lot of stuff because it's a lot of, it's a program at Atlanta Area Tech that I go to and I speak to called PIC Program.
Mm-hmm.
And what the PIC Program is, a re-interest program, and it helps people get in touch with themselves. Now, there's a lot of stuff. You know, I started listening to people talk, and then, you know, I found out that a lot of people were, you know, you have a lot of people that come in now. I met one gentleman that came in now, and he just took over. Like, he was the only man that was being put up, you know. And then when I came in there, when I walked in there, and I was listening to this gentleman talking, and he was sitting back. And he thought he was just sitting there like, you know, I thought he was the governor or somebody, working with the city of Atlanta, where he was talking. But he had been in there like 15 years or 5 years or something like that. You know, he was talking like he had killed him or something. But then I said, you ain't did no time. I said, I've been in there 46 years. Let me tell you what it is. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people get locked up. They go to these side camps, the county camps or whatever else, and it's really luxury. But then they think they've been to a prison, but they haven't been to a real hard prison. You know what I'm saying? They haven't been to a real...
No, uh-huh. I was going to say, when you talk about that program, as far as you, the re-entrance part, I want to talk about the ones that have been on the outside going through the program. Hello?
Hello?
I just heard a lot of feedback.
I
know, with the program, as far as a family member or a friend is concerned, really opened my eyes when I went because, you know, we have been on the outside, but those that have been on the inside, they, as far as with, you know, with Brother Stroger.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I got to take a call.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, but as I was saying, with the program, for instance, with him, the inside raised him, so now he's on the outside. So now he's got to deal with society, but we on the outside may not understand what he has gone through. I ain't going to say we won't know, but to say, well, I understand, if you haven't been there, you can't say I understand what you went through. That's
right.
Just like somebody, you know, that has never lost a child to death. I can't say I know how you feel when I have not lost a child. So with him being on the outside and try to cope with society. Now he has to fight with society like he fought on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So with us going to that program that Ms. Horn talked about, I found it very helpful because sometimes you have to take self out of it. Because
that's true.
You know, dealing with him is more, how can I say it? It's like raising a child.
Mhm.
And people don't understand how, you know, we say, okay, we'll help you, and then if they get frustrated, and then you're getting frustrated, if you haven't been there, you don't know. But
that's
that program on that second and that fourth Thursday is very helpful. I would recommend it to anyone that has family members that they would like to take. For those that have been in, still in, or even just to get some help with understanding the process of the re-entrance back into society. Because, it gets deep. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to thank Ms. Horn for inviting us out to the program Mm-hmm. And once Brother Stroger finishes his classes, then we can go on time faithfully. But I really, really enjoy. And if, like I said, if anybody who would like to come to the second and fourth Thursday, by all means, please come out.
Yeah,
please. Because it is a good program.
That's right. And I would just like to add on to that. Thank you so much for being a part of it and continue to come out. Because now it's beginning to get more, what so many people are going in at younger ages. And so, like you always talking about, the kids were down at the bus and acting up at Five Point.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing this everywhere. But my grandson, who is 14, and last week I was not going, and I said, I'm going to stay home. I have a lot to do. And he said, please, let's go. And he almost dragged me out there. But, see, he is receiving things that he is not able to get because his father died. He had been died about a year ago, his dad, my only son. And he liked to go because there are people that have been there, done that, and they can help him. And he told the leader of the group, he said, thank y'all so much for talking to me. I have learned, and I'm learning more and more. He said, because it takes a man to mm-hmm. be in another young man's life. And he said, mm-hmm. I don't have a daddy at home. He said, but when I come out here, I see people that cares about me. And that's why I made my grandma come out tonight and bring me. So we are talking more about younger people are coming out to receive from those that have been there and done some things and can help these young men and young people, girls coming out there as well. It's coming because they believe that they are going in the wrong direction, but they need somebody to tell them what they have been through, and maybe it won't be hard for them, and they can start changing their lives now at a young age, not wait till it gets so far in there until you can't turn back. So I say to all of the people, if you know some young people out there that you see are heading in the wrong direction, tell them about the classes every second and fourth Thursday at the Atlanta, used to be Technical State College. We meet at 6:30. We're there until around 8 or 8:15. So it won't interfere with their classwork, but I think it's worth their coming, worth their trying it out, because we don't want our young people to go so far and they're going too far. And once they get locked up, once they get a name behind them, once they get a charge on them, it's hard for them to go back. So we were trying to reach them while they are yet young. I thank you so much for allowing me to share this because it's so important. I don't know what I could have done without someone being there to help my grandson, who was 13 at the time his father passed. But he is changing. He's done some things that he rejected because he thought God took his daddy, and he can't understand why. That's all he talks about all the time. We don't know why, but we do know that God will send help, and it's going to be help for through people like Johnny, through people that have stayed in many years, and some people that now see that they can help somebody else. And that's what Johnny's all about, and I'm so proud of him because my grandson looks up to him as well, and they believe that somebody's out there to help him, and I do too. So I thank you. Hello?
I'm still on, Miss Horn.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if I talked to everybody too much.
Oh, no, you're fine, because, I mean, you're saying your story, and you never know if your mm-hmm. story is touching someone else.
That's true.
Some people may not want to talk, and they're listening,
mm-hmm.
and you just never know who,
Hello.
You just never know who your story is. No, Ms. Horn was talking about her grandson, and like I was telling Ms. Horn, you never know who's on the radio and who's just listening and not saying anything, because her story may well be touching someone right now.
And I was telling them,
Brother Stroger, how when I went, to the program, on that Thursday, how it inspired me as far as being a part of society, try to understand what's going on the inside. And you have to be able to, like I said, remove self and be patient and see, you know, just stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
It's called free on the inside. You know, when Mel Hall was talking, I was listening. I want to shine something else. There's something that somebody did for me, and I didn't even know nothing about it. You know, I was invited by Miss Robinson to a hotel event. And when I got there, they gave me a name tag. I still got it right now. They gave me a name tag, a pretty name tag, but it had my name on it. But up under my name, it had KCOP. That's my program. You follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know it was up under there. So somebody stopped me and they said, sir, they said, you know, everybody had different titles, you know. One title was CDC and other people had different titles. But, you know, I had KCOP. And people wanted to know.
You say you had COP.
Now, KCOP. It stands for Keep Children Out of Prison.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So, and then I didn't know she had my program on that card. And people were coming up to me. Very important people was coming up and asking me, what does KCOP stand for? And so I had the opportunity to tell them what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people that I was talking to were said, you know, we need that. We need that. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to come talk to me later on and tell me what this KCOP stands for and explain it to me, because I want to get involved with the KCOP.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I want to say? I'm talking about, I had black people, white people, Japanese, all kinds of people were coming up wanting to know what the KCOP stands for. They wanted to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had called last week, I had these people lined up to come on at 9 o'clock. But when I tell Ms. Mary, I said, Ms. Mary, I have people coming on at 9 o'clock. I can't switch it up. Because then they'll go to sleep, like my sister. See, they'll go to sleep, and people have to get up and go to work.
Yeah.
And so when you got this 9 o'clock thing going, you got to keep it at 9 o'clock. Because if you switch it up and put it another time, you won't have nobody on here but me.
Yeah,
I'll be talking to myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well,
Brother Stroger, we have your back. And you won't be on here by yourself. You see, you know, in the Bible it says, well, two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst.
That's right.
And always remember that you have friends in your corner, like you, there is Miss Horn that you have been knowing for over 40 years. You're going to always have somebody that will be there for you when no one else will be there. So, you know, just remember you have those people. And I was going to also say, you said that about that hotel event, is that we have established, one of the guys at work established a Facebook page for you. So that we have to get you on, and it has KCLP on there. And you have to, you know, so when you get on, you can see who is reaching out to you. And I also have a network of parents that have, it's 3,000 of them, and I'm sending emails out too. But you are right. When I put a time on there, Saturday at 9 o'clock, and this is a mass email that went out, I can easily go back in and change it. But if they're not reading that emails, they're not knowing that it's, you know, it has been changed. So even on your Facebook page, we have 9 o'clock phone number, Saturday night at 9 o'clock, you know. So that's something that we have to keep going, or we can go on there and change it. But everybody normally do not, you know, check their emails or go on Facebook. So, you know, if we're going to say 9, or even if there's a way when people do come on Saturday at 9, and it's, if it's not going to happen, then there should be some kind of announcement to say, we're sorry, it's not going to be at this time, but what time it is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has really been a pleasure talking. I know Johnny said he had to leave. He wanted to get some things done. What time are you going to try to leave, Johnny?
I'm gonna wrap it up as soon as everybody gets talking. I'm finna do my final speech. I do a Bible verse here before I sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm gonna go and do that, and then I'm gonna go and get rid of let everybody go.
Okay.
I'm really tired.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know you. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna come out of. I'm going to come out of Proverbs 24.
Okay.
And I'm going to start at verse number 5, I think that is. I can't see it too good. Verse number 5, it says, a wise man is mightier than a strong man. Wisdom is mightier than strength. Don't go to war without wise guidance. There is a safe and many counselors.
Mm.
Not to be chosen as a counselor. To plan evil is as wrong as doing it. To plan evil is as wrong as doing it.
Mm.
It was just like the young men that fired Frank. They were playing evil before they even got off the train.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They were playing. They were planning evil before they got off the train. But then it said not to be chosen as a counselor, to plan evil as wrong as doing it. To plan evil is wrong as even doing it. Huh?
Mm. Okay.
You hear what I just said?
Yeah,
you're
playing
evil, and then you're doing it. It's just the wrong. You're wrong when you're playing it. And you're still wrong by doing it.
Yeah, that's right. So right.
And that came out of Proverbs chapter 5, and I went down to 8.
Okay. Proverbs 5-8.
And then down here at number 17, in the same verse, it said, do not rejoice when your enemy meet trouble. Let there be no gladness when he falls, for the Lord may be displeased with you and stop punishing him. Don't envy a wicked and don't cover his richness. For the evil man has no future. His life will be suffered out.
Oh, wow. And that's saying it, ain't it?
That's sad.
We don't, oh my. He'll bring everything to your remembrance, won't it?
Mm-hmm. And you know, over the years, you know, what I learned when I was reading that Bible, and I know every time I come to your church, you said, John, you got something to say, and you know I got something to say.
I know that's right. Yeah. You need to, we always have something to say when we live a good life and live it in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because he gives you so much goodness and mercy every day. You don't have to think about, yes, what happened yesterday. If you living in the Word, living in the Spirit, you got a message every moment of the day. I don't care. You know, it's still you got something to say. Blessings don't ever stop. I don't care how bad other things might be going. His mercy and his goodness. His mercy.
Yeah, I want you to start calling me up when you have an events and going places and doing things, and I think it's time for me to step up and start reading this thing. You know what I'm saying? I think it's time for me to step out. So you know, you and Miss Green, Pastor Green, and y'all know I be doing something, or y'all going somewhere. Give me a call and let me go with you.
We sure will. We sure will.
Yeah.
You know.
I like going to different churches. I don't like to just go to the same church every Sunday, sit up there and look at the same people all the time. I got a testimony that God gave me, and he don't want me just sitting around and don't give it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to keep going. You know, one thing you can know about Jesus, he never let the grass go too long under his feet because he kept on going. He kept on walking. He didn't have nothing to ride in, but he kept on walking.
Yeah, he kept on walking. It's just like I was telling you in Mark chapter. I'm going to see this in, and I'm going to go in on because I want to get some sleep. I was telling the lady the other day, I said, how many true friends can you call right now?
Mm-hmm.
That'll come. If you live on top of the Empire State Building, and you were sick, and you needed somebody to come see about you so they can lay you down, and the elevator didn't work. But you need to get lowered down off the top of that building to the ambulance down below. How many people can you call that'll give you the hookup and lower you down to the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Can you answer that yourself?
I can answer that myself. It was a man in Mark chapter 2
mm-hmm.
that had four good friends. See, every time Jesus came on the scene, he couldn't get there. But he had four good friends. See, he had two in the front and two in the back. They picked him up and they told him to Jesus. And then when they got him to Jesus and they see that they couldn't get in now, he had such a good friend, they took him up on top of the roof and tore the roof off and laid him down in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a real friend.
They will find a way to bring you in. Mm-hmm.
They will.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true friend.
Yep.
If you'd have met you somebody today and said, hey, I'm going to try to hear Pastor Griffin preaching, and you get on the top of the hill and the door was out, you know what they would have did? It would have been on the birth team. Well, that's good. Let's go to the birth team. Huh?
I got you. Yes. That's what you call a real friend, isn't it?
That's a real friend. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, How many people have you lowered down today to get in the place they needed to go? You know,
mm-hmm.
That's something for you to think about. That's really
that's something
beautiful.
To think about.
Mm-hmm.
How many people you don't live around in?
Mm-hmm.
You get their blessing.
That's right. To receive their
blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
You go out in the daytime, get on Mara or whatever, and people won't even speak to you. They won't even say good morning or nothing. They jump on the book. Everybody got headphones in the ear.
Is you listening to the right thing?
Or you just got headphones in your ear, listening to all that old bebop music. All that old bebop music talking about a female auditioning her and got people dancing all on the track. You know what I mean? Acting crazy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So if you can't say good morning to your brother that you can see every morning, you say you love Jesus, but you ain't talking.
I know. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I seen a lady downtown yesterday preaching. I walked by, I said, amen, amen. And she just kept on preaching.
I know what you mean. Well, I tell you, it's really been a wonderful night. I have learned a whole lot tonight by just sharing and listening. We can learn a lot if we just take the time to listen, won't we?
Listen to one another. Listen to one another talk.
Right.
Get an understanding of what's going on. And basically just, you can find out a lot of stuff. You can find out all the stuff going on. People might be on here looking for a job. And you can find out right now about a job. If you know somebody in your horn and looking for a job, then drive a truck and go pick up some stuff, tell them I got a job that they might be interested in over at Christian City in Union City. They're looking for a driver.
Where is it at, you said?
It's at Christian City.
Oh, Christian City, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Highway 138. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a Christian outlet. I took a friend of mine back there. They sell clothes and books and all kinds of stuff, and they're looking for a driver.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, if anybody interested, you know, I got if they go down to Gateway, if you've been in Pruville and you need a job with the city, you can go down to Gateway on Monday. At 1 o'clock, and you can sign up and go get an interview, and you probably get your job working with the city, making about $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's at Gateway downtown by the city jail.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Go down there and go to the second floor. At 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh. At what time?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, how do you think a man that's been in prison 4 to 6 years can come out and get some research, get some insights on some stuff that people that have 40 years can't get?
I know that's right. I know it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to say good night.
Good
to
night. Take care. Love you both. Love you all. Okay.
Love you all.
Love you too.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly enjoyed your presentation tonight. Jenny Strozier, Keeping It Real. It was wonderful for all of you to join and join in the conversation because, you know, we only have one life to live. We all live together in one world, so it's only fitting and proper that we also have one love.